call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied. That adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
292.
May I have a roll call, please?
Riva?
Yes.
Sewell?
Here.
Torres?
Yes.
Donald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Coyle?
Here. First up on our agenda, we have Resolution 88-2011, certification of the local tax levy for the Warren Hills Regional School District. Any time now.
I'll move Resolution 88-2011.
Thank you.
Can we have discussion on that?
After this.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Mr. Torres, you have something?
I'm surprised that that agreement was that amount was negotiated amount that they came up with, because frankly I think that the voters said that was it, and it should have been quite a bit more than the $250,000 reduction. So I don't know, that's just my opinion on it. I don't know how everyone else feels, but I'm not in favor of that whatsoever.
Mr. Higgins, would you like to comment on that at all?
You're not in favor of the reduction, or you think it should be more or less?
I think the reduction should be, a lot more.
Oh, well, there was four municipalities at the meeting.
Right.
I'm represented by two representatives for each municipality. A lot of discussion went back and forth. There were a few numbers that were presented, and the consensus was that the $250,000 reduction from the original budget that was submitted and defeated by the residents, the voters, was doable.
Doable for who?
For
everyone else?
Excuse me?
For the other townships?
Well, there were some other municipalities, which I won't speak for, that wanted less. So it was a long meeting. It was good information presented back and forth, some good arguments, but it was not a unanimous decision.
Okay.
It was a consensus to try to avoid it from going down to Trenton. Because there wasn't an agreement coming out of that meeting, then the next step, as I understand it correctly, would have gone to Trenton. And that could have been even gone either way, I guess.
Well, if we vote against it this evening, it will go down to Trenton again, right? Is that the
I imagine that would be a quagmire.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, it would.
Well, it has to be unanimous.
Yeah.
All the municipalities have
That's
to be
right. Right. Okay.
So that was the first step in the process of that workshop meeting.
Okay, because, it was very clear that, on the referendum, the voters said no, they don't want an increase in the school taxes for a reason.
Well, to be completely honest, the budget passed in the borough.
Oh.
The Warren Hills budget passed in the borough.
In Mansfield,
In Mansfield. It didn't pass in Washington Township or Franklin Township.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I had taken a look, too, also at the reductions that were made. It seems that only salaries were the only reduction area. And, as I understand, there's quite a bit of other areas, budget line items that could have been discussed and agreed upon. I don't know. Maybe it was a long meeting. I don't know, how it went. But I just, to me, that's just my comment.
Of course, part of the process there is we can't tell them what line items
sure.
to cut.
Mm-hmm.
We can give them a dollar amount, and they figure out how
sure.
to do it. We can suggest, which I believe is what occurred.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean that that's where they're going to take it from.
Right.
Correct.
Any other discussion? May I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Leva?
Abstain.
Torres?
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Next up, we have our council appearance, Mr. Eric Altman, Washington Community Solar.
My name's actually Anthony Mala. I'm here with my business partner, Eric Altman, and also our engineer, Rick Rosenberry from Mazer Engineering. My partner and I are in the solar energy business, as you may know, and our primary focus is the design, the financing, construction, and maintenance and operation of moderately sized solar farms. Say that with a little bit of emphasis. We're not huge solar farm builders. We're moderately sized farms that is our focus. For those of you who have not already been informed, we've purchased the 26 plus or minus acres of vacant land, which is immediately adjoining or bordering the borough sewer plant. It is our intention to make full use of what is currently available through the federal government in the form of a 30% construction subsidy. That subsidy is available for solar farms that will produce clean and renewable energy. It is set to expire, but is still currently available, and we'd like to make full use of it. And the use of that on this particular property will generate approximately 800,000 or 800 kilowatts or 800,000 watts of energy annually, clean and renewable. Now, because the borough sewer plant is uniquely situated as an adjoiner to this property, and because the power will be produced at well below the current rates, the partners of Washington Community Solar, which is Eric is one of those partners as well, thought that it would be mutually beneficial to talk to the borough about a solar power purchase agreement. And to help demonstrate what kind of savings would be associated with such an agreement, we've prepared a spreadsheet for you. And I'm not sure whether Eric has handed this sheet out along with the packet.
We did get one this evening.
There was a spreadsheet in the package before we had some of your electric bills. And then I did a supplemental one showing your actual rate.
They get tremendously better. Let me clarify a second here. It's the one that says electrical savings over time, and that was prior to us knowing what your utility rates were down at the sewer plant. We were anticipating maybe 15 cents. Your actual rate is 17 and a half cents when we reviewed the bills. We've gotten some additional programs where we can fix a rate for at least 5 years, so this shows a rate change at a moderate increase, but we will be fixing the rate, or that's we'll be proposing a fixed rate. So what happened is initially it was a $1.3 million savings that could be potentially gotten by the borough, the sewer plant. Now with the revised numbers, knowing what you're paying here in New Jersey, it's about $2 million over the course of the potential agreement. So what I'd like to highlight for you, you know, one of the things I think that's important to point out is that when we build these solar farms, there is absolutely no cost for design, engineering, installation to the beneficiaries of the system, such as yourselves. You're next door. We own the property, so it's our burden for the design, the engineering, the approvals, taxes, and everything associated with it. What we are going to be doing is just generating clean and pure power from this site, and it just is a just perfect situation for us to come over here and approach the borough about the use of that power.
Is your actual property in the township or the borough?
Property is in the township, and
so
the borough line is between the two of them. I think if the council's interested in pursuing something like this, that, you know, the $2 million savings is outstanding over the term, but I think people are also looking for immediate savings. What can you potentially save right up front? We're looking at, in year 1 through 5, fixing the rate at 9 cents for power generated by this farm, which is about 49% savings over your current rates. And when I say it's seamless, they commonly refer to this as a behind-the-meter installation. The borough sewer plant has a utility meter. We would have another meter installed on your building, and then it would read two separate numbers, and you would be paying, let's say, a net amount of money. If your power requirements exceeded what we produced, then you'd be paying the utility company rate. If our system is producing what you need, then you'd be paying this, you know, lowest rate for the 100% of your power. Now, we've sized this system according to the land that we have and the wetlands and the buffers and everything else, and it turns out that 800,000 watts is pretty close to what the borough sewer plant is requiring. I think the numbers are, Eric, for this stuff, 700,000. And if you include the garage, which we have not yet included the garage, but your potential for power needs at the garage might bump you up to 800,000. And then our property farm would be pretty equally matched to your power needs, which would be a pretty unique situation. We wish we could get more power than that, but that's about what we can think.
Is it expandable, your property? I mean, where later on you might want to, you know, I mean, or this is going to be it, your plan is pretty much complete?
We think that because of the regulations in the state with regard to stream buffers and everything else, that this is going to be about the maximum size. Unless they were to ease regulations with wetlands and species and things, the likelihood of that, no, we don't see that happening. So yeah, the answer is that would be the size of the system. Another major thing, in addition to the immediate savings, is that, and I want to highlight on the spreadsheet, is that utility companies are historically known for some pretty heavy escalations with power. When you look at it and you say 5% or 7%, you start to think, well, that's higher than inflation, and that sounds like a pretty high number, and that's actually pretty conservative. There have been rates out there and utility hikes that have well exceeded that. What we are proposing is that the sun's going to generate this energy. We have upfront cost and we have operational cost and such, but once we get up and through a certain period, we don't see that our costs will be changing like the utility companies will be changing as a result of coal, trucking, and all kinds of other things. So our spreadsheet is shown to be fixed for 5 years and then go 3% annually, which is pretty much a cost of living index for us in terms of what money will be worth. At least it preserves the, it's like an inflation hedge. So that's the assumptions that are made on the spreadsheet. It's a 9 cents versus 18 or 17 and a half cents that you're paying now, and it's 3% annually increased after 5 years. And if you run the numbers out, it's pretty simple mathematics. It's about a $2 million savings for the borough.
Richard, we would still, if we go green with the sewer plant, solar power, we still have to have backup with JCP&L in case something happens with the solar power unit.
Whatever. Correct. We have backup generators.
Does that need to be engineered through our engineer, like Andrew?
Well the purchase of this, you have to go out to sealed bid in order to do this. So there would be engineering costs, there would be attorney costs associated with us moving forward with the project.
Okay.
So far in that, Pat, to answer your question, I think there are certain engineering issues that I think need to be examined.
Sure.
I think they're at a higher level than the two of us sitting over here. Oh. You know, somebody's got to figure out, okay, does this work with our system, and you know, whatever the technical requirements are.
And the normal electric will still be there. Yeah, you know, lightning strikes their field and it goes completely down, we still will have electric power.
We brought our engineer here with us that I was giving you an answer preliminarily some of your questions if you'd like, and then you know, we can hopefully take it further if you have an interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's a logical, you know, concern. Something happens with the solar, we flip the switch and
right. This is a behind
go
the
carbon.
You would still have your direct connection to JCP&L. So you'd always have a backup. This doesn't operate at night, so you still need a power supply.
I guess it wouldn't, would it?
Just by way of background, my name is Rick Roseberry. I'm with Mazur Consulting.
All right.
I represent five municipalities. One of the municipalities that my firm represents is Hampton Borough. We're doing the same thing right now in Hampton, putting out an RFP to do both ground mount and some roof mounted systems for the borough. We have multitudes of bid proposals that we've put together that we could only assist you. But as far as the design, even up to the building, that's all incorporated in what we do. One of the first things that we would do, should you enter into an agreement, or we got the bid, would be to contact JCP&L. We'd actually make application for a behind-the-meter facility. We'd have to do a one-line diagram for electrical layout. do an analysis, but every, all the engineering and all the design would be done as part of that process.
And just to be clear, so New Jersey has a unique situation, they call it a net meter. So what's happening is the electricity being produced by the solar grid is going right into your meter, and when it's producing and you're drawing, it's potentially coming from the solar. But at night, as Rick was saying, you're drawing, and it's almost like a traffic cop. It sort of keeps track of whether we're drawing and nets out the amount. And the whole point of our engineering would be to engineer it sufficiently based on your historical usage and potential future usage so that the solar array can produce enough so that you're not really drawing the
solar sure.
Now but there will be times where you actually are.
Okay. Now, your design of the solar panels, do you have another sewer authority or utility that's using that type of energy to run their system?
I don't know if we have any sewer authorities. I have multitudes of applications. Just for example, I have over 60 solar developments that I've designed so far.
For what type of industry, sir?
Some of them are, I did a school, I did a community center. I've done multiple rooftops on warehouses. Right now we're working on a lot of the large utility scale projects, which are 20 megawatt projects that take up 140 acres. Right. They don't go to buildings or direct tie-ins.
Are you familiar with the Merck Pharmaceuticals
yes.
down at White Hat Station?
Yeah.
Did you do that one as
not
well?
Not Merck, no.
Okay, I don't know if it's, you're familiar
one,
with the system that they have.
Crayola,
they whole
Crayons in Fort Township, that was one of my designs. I work for multitudes of clients, different applications. The common theme between most of these is they're behind the meter. It doesn't matter what.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Like with amperage and stuff, the low draw is just mess up pumps, and you know, I mean, that's what I think the engineers got.
Yeah.
Come in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's been just as you put, I mean, Morristown, and several other municipalities, so the treatment facilities have been open.
Okay, good.
There's plenty.
Sure. M&M Morris actually just
yeah.
And this power is very happy.
Okay.
Yeah. So was it. And again, if you just say this whole system went down, the system was designed right from the
grid. Does we have a storage system for battery system or anything?
No, we don't.
Again, you don't need
that's
to go
a smaller systems, I would imagine, probably would be.
Right. It's on a net basis.
Right.
One other point I want to make was, in this instance, it's a little unusual because we have enough land to be able to provide a system this large to be able to power it. So we're in a way we're like the only game in town as far as being able to do this because we own the land. You don't have sufficient land to be able to produce this much. So we're presenting it in a way, as Anthony was saying, partner. It's sort of a win-win type
sure.
of situation.
I have a couple of questions. Who else are you serving with this solar farm? Like, who else is receiving the benefits? So if we decided not to go forward, are you still building these panels on that land?
Yeah, if we...
So who else is going to make use of
well,
the solar energy?
Well, we can sell this back to the grid, and then they can then distribute it out to other users. But then it would be, the utility company would be selling it to the other users at their going rate.
Now, I'm assuming all these panels, it won't be on our property at all. It's going to be on this 26 acres.
That's correct, yeah.
And so did this go through the township zoning?
That's what we're doing now.
Right.
Yeah.
It hasn't passed
yeah,
that
we're
yet.
In the process of doing that now. And there's some things that would change.
What stage are you at with that?
We've done
very preliminary.
Okay.
Surveys, wetland delineations, buffers have all been engineered already.
Yeah.
So.
And what other, like, almost like references, like what other prior, where else have you built these farms, or who else have you served?
You're talking about Rick?
Your company.
Ours have been like apartment buildings, Pennsylvania. Right now our company is tied into the Stroudsburg School District, putting in one of the largest systems in Pennsylvania, but that's not typical for us. More or less, they've been 50 kilowatt type of systems. A lot of rooftops on multifamily and some industrial buildings in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
There's a lot of different components too, because there's the we're in essence the investors, and then we would have major installers, So this is really in a way the nature of we acquired the land, and there's many different ways to do it.
So I guess Township going to be using this at all since it's on their land? Like, are they?
No, it's on our land.
No.
Well, you know what I mean. It's in their jurisdiction.
No, we're approaching you as the natural choice first. We think that if we're going to engineer it, they're engineered differently.
Mm-hmm.
If we bring the power to you,
it's going to require one set of engineering drawings. If we bring it to the grid, it's going to be completely different. As this gentleman was saying, we need to match power, amperage, three-phase, whatever, single-phase, whatever it is that you have there, we need to make all those designs consistent with your use. So this is the natural choice first.
Okay.
And if it's something that's of interest to you, I think what you do is you, your next step would be to authorize your engineers and attorneys to work with our team of professionals. We'll carry the ball in terms of the majority of the expense. Obviously, if they want to review it and look at it and make comments to it, that would be your expense, but we'll get everything presented to them and negotiate back and forth with how we might want to place something. Where we'll need copies of your plans to know where some of the underground lines might exist, so that we know where to trench and where not to trench. But it's really not all that sophisticated for us. We'll have DC, you know, current and AC current inverters that would be matched up, and a lot of fail safes on there. This is designed to be seamless. If your power if you're using it, it's there. And if it's snow covered, you're still using power from the utility company, but it's in our best interest to make sure that somebody's out there to take off that snow, because it costs us money to have it sitting there.
When you put it at a certain angle, the snow's supposed to go right off of
it.
It will, right?
It'll help, yeah.
Now, you run all the software, the computer, you know, facilities and everything else. It's totally, you're the provider.
There's not that much in the way of you know, software today, but there is actually very interesting things great for public education. There's a web box that all the inverters which take the electricity, turn it from DC into AC, and then it goes down the line. They all read each other, and those are computerizing their chips. And that'll be on a website that anybody
we can make that available to the borough.
We'll be able to see. And it's a really nice, it's very becoming common software, but it actually shows how many pounds of carbon you're saving, and it turns to, you know, how many trees, you know, of oxygen, and gallons of gas and things like that. And it's actually a useful public.
It's about time.
I got a couple of questions, too, about your agreement. Is it the ones that you have in existence now with your company, the one at the local school board, is that a 15-year, too? Is it a 15-year term? Is the norm?
Some of them are 20. New Jersey is limited to 15 years by the state.
Statute.
What happens is the states become very aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. And also I have a question for Rich, then, or I don't know, how does this fall in with our contract kind of bidding thing? I mean, we can just it does have to be bid out. That's what I thought.
Okay. This is basically providing us with a service. I know, Eric, you had raised the question, well, if you own the land and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's clearly, you know, something that has to go out for a bid.
Yeah, sure.
Situation. Yeah. Essentially, if you went along with this, you're buying a commodity. Just like you're buying anything else, you're buying electricity.
Right. The unusual circumstance being that we're in that, and the only ones you can do that you're putting out for bid.
That's why it's an unusual situation, but it still would have to fall
into
your contract.
And cards on the table, and we're just getting, if you check and see what a lot of power purchase agreements are doing across the country, they're averaging about 20%, and we came in, with pretty much 50, so.
What happens after the 15 years, then? Like, do we just go back to JCP&L, or
we can, at that point, discuss the purchase of the land, or there could be an extension, but the reason why 15 years is important is when New Jersey took over this type of a program, they said, how long is it going to be that the average investor needs to be able to get their money back? Because they're getting away from rebates, even though the federal government's giving a rebate. And they said, 15 years is the amount of time that carbon credits, which are the things that really make the project viable. And we received the carbon credits, and they're only good for 15 years in New Jersey, so that's what it's like. And then what the New Jersey Office of Clean Energy did is they matched their laws to say, okay, municipalities want to get involved in a power purchase agreement, which is what we're talking about here, is the main vehicle for being able to do that. So they extended the amount of time that municipalities and other quasi-governmental entities could enter into agreements, because previously it was shorter, so now there's a specific law that allows it to go out for 15 years. It would be natural to come back and see you again after 15 years. The inverters probably have a lifespan of about 15 years.
I was just going to ask that. What's your lifespan? I'm in the same field, electrical field myself. I deal with that every day. What about the panels? What are they rated? Sorry, for 30?
Well, the panels,
40 years?
We basically rate the panels at 25.
Oh, 25.
Although they can live
They can produce energy.
Is the DC to AC system, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And the degradation of each panel is about 1% a year.
Right.
So in our spreadsheet that we put together for you, I'm not sure if Eric did that in this one that he gave you as revised, but if not, we'll, you know, there's a 1% degradation each year. So you see, it starts off with about, you know, 1 megawatt, it goes to 990 kilowatts, and just drops down 1% each year. So after 15 years, we've got about 85% production.
And during those 15 years, if there's any problems or maintenance or improvements, you pay for that, or?
Correct. Yeah.
And do you have like a replacement plan for any of those, like a level when it drops 15%, you start replacing the panels or? Any plan
well, after that 15-year...
Could be 20 years or whatever.
We don't know. Okay. We don't know. It's really going to depend on the technology. If things
you'll
develop...
You'll monitor each panel or each grid.
Who knows?
Design from there.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with air conditioning or oil furnace. After 15 years, the one you have now is a 13, 16, 18th year.
Yeah.
Right? So the world could change.
There's no planned obsolescence, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's what it does.
Yeah. Things break down over time. I mean, it's...
Right.
Yeah.
But the panels themselves, to answer the question, they come with a 25-year guarantee, almost all the panels across the board. They're capable of probably producing electricity as one's up in, you know, circling the right now. They could do it for 30, 40 years and even longer. And then the inverters have a 15-year useful life, give or take. And then what would happen is, I think after the end of 15 years, the efficiency would be so much that it would make sense to maybe keep the racking system and just tear everything out.
Right. No, that could be anywhere from 5 to
15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Be something more
so
forward
probably,
than we have now.
You know, with 14 years left, we'd come back and talk to you guys and, you know, see how the world is. But it would be a 15-year because that's as long as the state would give us, you know, the carbon credit.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I have
two questions.
Sure.
Rich. We get money back from the state of New Jersey for our electric use, right? Towards like our... I think we got what energy
receipts.
The
energy receipts tax. That well, they kind
gross.
They kind of rolled all of that into the COMTRA, so they no longer separate energy receipts or gross receipts.
Does that affect us at all?
You're still buying money from utility. I mean, keep in mind that the finance laws change every year. Theoretically, they can cut it next year, regardless of whether we pursue solar power.
Well, gross receipts tax was created to be in lieu of property tax.
Right.
In other words, they have property in the borough, the electric company, but they don't pay real estate taxes the way, say, you would. You own property, as you own property in the borough. So that was created as a way to get some revenue stream for the boroughs. So the trouble is, towns like Holland, the Lower Alloway Township, and all those places had huge power plants, and they were getting oodles of money. And the state saw that, wanted some of that money, and began diverting it to the state's use. I mean, that was very surprising when that happened.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the short version is, I don't know the answer to that. It all depends on what the state chooses.
Second question. We're talking specifically the sewer plant right now.
Yes.
And potentially the municipal building.
The garage.
And the garage.
Yeah, the garage. Right.
Would you have to increase the size of the place to support the garage?
We think that is going to match up. We're about 800 kilowatts, and your use is about 750. So we think that that's going to match up.
You can go up to almost 700.
Yeah, unless you start to do something very, very intensive, you know.
Yeah, it's not really dry.
It
doesn't matter, because the last energy is 30% higher than JCP now.
And then I took the 4-year, I got the numbers from the borough, and your 4-year sewage usage actually went down last year, went down about 10% or 15%. For maybe it was just this year, but over the 4 years, we basically went on the 4-year rolling average without the garage.
The other, just want to highlight that the other reason that this is unique is that as private investors in a solar farm, we qualify for a 30% rebate by the federal government. If, in fact, this were land that was owned by the borough and you wanted to purchase it or build it, a system like this would be, $3.5 million to build. You wouldn't qualify as a municipality for the 30%. But because we're private and they're incentivizing the private industries, we get the 30% to bring the cost down, to bring the electric rate to 50%. So it kind of works out really, really well. We're uniquely positioned together here, and
we're hopeful that we can make it work with you.
So I'll just say one other point, just on that. So that, each year gets renewed. Last year it was renewed, but it's not guaranteed. So we basically would have to break ground in order to take care of that by year end. We have to be 10% underway in order to qualify. And without that, this project is really not viable. And then secondly, we wanted to see where we were with the, there was a question about where we are with the township. We're here with you today because we've got to do our plans. Our plans are conceptual. Everything's feasible. And so it would be one type of a system if we tied into your meter, be another if we tied into the grid. So we're ready to submit. And we spoke with the township. No one's giving us any assurances, but they're excited about, you know, the process of it. The property's owned commercial, as you guys know. It's surrounded by railroad tracks, a sewage treatment facility, high tension wires, and
What's the time frame then?
Well, just that we're in at this point now, and obviously you need to review it. But if you were interested in it, we'd want to talk with you further. You'd have to put it out for bid. There's a time period where we go through that process.
What's the approximate construction time?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, construction,
that was my question.
Right. We're saying
fully about 4 months, right?
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be complete by year. It needs to be.
We need to be underway.
Right. We purchase the panels by year and qualify.
Register the system.
I think from our interest, when do we get the electricity if we go forward with it?
Right.
You know, so that. That wouldn't happen until the end of construction, so about 4 months.
Four months from the time we
have both approvals, yeah.
To right. The approvals.
Because the earliest, I think,
shovel in the ground.
If everything went well, we went and did this all, but the earliest you're talking about is like November, December. I think more accurately, it'd be probably the first quarter next year.
How do you access that project? From where?
Right now, we have access through 57, but that requires a stream crossing. There's also historic access through behind the municipal building. The municipal garage, I keep calling it.
Yeah.
And we'd probably want to access it that way because it's the least intrusive enough to cross the shadow.
In your plans, are you going to have a building there as well, or is it just going to be that right?
No building proposed.
Okay.
The only structure is the inverter, which is a freestanding structure.
A cabinet, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, and then the lower portion of it, is just going to remain farmland. And, you could remove everything in 15 years and turn it all back to farmland or whatever use you'd like. But, the upper portion, for those who are familiar with the property, where the pasture is right now, that's pretty much what would get taken up. And the panels would be oriented towards the railroad tracks because that's not.
Okay.
Question.
The borough hall, is that included in this plan?
We've run the line here, we can do it.
We actually, the state of New Jersey is looking into it, does not allow it. That would be what's called virtual metering, where you could take the electricity produced in one place and use it everywhere else. And I'd really love to, if we feel as big as we possibly could. But right now, it's the two adjoining buildings that you have, that use up electricity, and I wish you'd build a bigger plant, and we have more, we have about 15-20% more capacity, so.
We could talk to you about rooftop units, though.
That might happen. One step at a time, though. Any other questions?
Just, if we could suggest that, I don't know if there has to be an official action to work with your professionals?
That's kind of where I was going. Is there interest among council to go forward with this?
I guess could we find out how much it's going to cost for our professionals? I mean, that's not in our budget this year, the engineering and legal fees. And
do you have any comments on that?
Maybe the developer would be willing to pay for the engineering and legal fees. We might make that a condition of the NEB.
We could do that.
Maybe these guys would agree to do that up front.
If they were
in the context of the overall plan, I think we would be willing to. We're going to do the vast majority of it, and that you will definitely need on with your own experts to be able to confirm. I think I'd probably be speaking for my partner that we'd be fine with incurring some reasonable fees associated with that because we have really nothing to hide with it, and I think that you'll see if this is something that's done quite a bit. So if it was a reasonable, amount that you would.
You're willing to negotiate
it.
What I would like to say, I mean, this is logical and it's a good point. When everybody's operating under budgets, it's an issue here, and it might only turn into a few cents over the period of the first 5 years. And we are going to be talking about a PPA agreement and things like that. So I would say conceptually the answer is yes, we would be agreeable to reasonable fees.
And then what we do is we just tell you that, you know, we're basing it on this 9 cents, and if we need to tweak a few cents one way or the other, we'll call that a cost. And we can help make it affordable, spread it out over time, make it painless, and we can maybe absorb some of that in the rate. But if that's okay with you, I mean, it gets us off of the idea of having to up from up front with the money and take it out of your operating fees.
Okay. Mr. Valentine, you'd like to explore it a little further?
Sure, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Mr. Torres?
Absolutely.
Mr. Cleva? Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Jewell?
Absolutely.
And Mr. Boyle?
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
And I agree, too, that we're definitely looking more forward to this.
Thank you greatly for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, here, let me talk about the gentleman before you leave. Let me talk a little bit about the process. Process would be what would have to happen is we'd have to, if you want to go ahead with this, what we'd have to do is prepare bid specifications. We'd have to work a little bit with the engineer to make sure the technical requirements are there. I have no idea.
So shouldn't we wait to even do any of that until we hear from the Washington zoning?
Well, I have a feeling that they're kind of, from understanding what these guys are saying, they're sort of saying, hey, we've got a little commitment from the borough, and we had to use some kind of leverage.
They're going to use that.
Well, the township has said that it's zoned, you know, but it's a chicken egg type process, no question.
Well, yeah, they might not want these panels. I don't know what their zoning is for solar panels, so, you know, I don't know.
Well, they already have them at Hawk Point. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
To them, it's a ratable, so, and ratable at this point in day and age.
I mean, I think what happens next is that Mr. Phelan and these gentlemen get together and talk over various terms and potential costs and things of that nature and see what they come up with.
I mean, I think Janine's got a good point.
And then we can go to...
There are municipalities that have concerns in this area, but traditionally, it's areas where you have residential properties that are looking down, like, you know, what happens usually with farming communities, it's the upland property owners who are concerned about the visual impact or something like this. We have a bunch of municipalities right now.
I know, I read that in the paper.
Going through that particular process. But in this case, and you may know more about the geography here than I do, but I'm looking at there is not a whole lot of property around there.
Right, yeah.
It's facing the railroad. They're going to face directly the railroad tracks. And they're going uphill, so the hill is going to actually shield it from whatever people are over here.
And it looks like you have pretty much woods around the other part.
Woods, high tension wires here. Here's the plant.
Do you own the portion below the line?
We own all of this.
So that you're not...
The river you're talking about, the great maybe about a third or a quarter of the property.
I think it's a practical matter.
Maybe...
Well, it makes sense.
Maybe you could order them in green. I don't know how they come.
The beauty of it is you're overlooking a sewage treatment facility in the initial garage to begin with, a railroad track.
And I believe Washington Township has a solar ordinance now, do they not? Or at least they've been working on one.
Yeah, like I said, no.
So that's going to dictate what kind of buffering you need or hiding materials.
This is all designed already in accordance with the standard. Well, the 100-foot buffer is minimum, you know, everything. And we need that anyway because there's a shading with trees and things like that and high tension wires. So you need to be away from anything that will shade, otherwise it reduces the production.
I
don't think so.
The only other thing I'll say is, again, it's commercial property. The township has given us every positive indication without any kind of assurances whatsoever, but this, by the state, has been adopted as an inherently beneficial use.
And I think we're giving you the same message.
Right,
you know,
and we're in a commercial property next to a sewage treatment facility, a railroad track, and high tension wires, and no other people.
Are you going in for a D or are you going in the planning board? Is it a permitted use?
No.
It's not a permitted use. We might have to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, we think it's going to be Board of Adjustment just because the use itself isn't specified.
Right.
The solar ordinance they're working on, I don't think it's been adopted yet.
Oh, okay.
Maybe when they adopt it, we might fall under a conditional use category.
Public utilities permitted, permitted use on this site. It's just that they're not considering it a public utility.
If you were a public utility,
we
could go without
bidding. But they said, it's going to be the same. You know better.
But I think addressing your concern is that we need to design in this direction.
Yeah.
So we'll have to take our chances ourselves at the township.
And we're doing that. We're actually taking that risk.
I guess, talking about financing, the cost for the municipality, one of the reasons this park is in favor of you guys picking up some of it, or all of course, of the work the municipality has to do, because it has to take a little bit of risk too. In the sense that if you guys don't, for some reason, if people materialize out of the woods there in opposition, and you don't get your D variance, the municipality's not going to have a deal here. So, you know, the municipality has some risk to take, if you will. And I think it's a win-win situation, and it's actually from a power purchase agreement situation, a very simple one. In the sense that there's no construction on your property, you don't have to put any capital in. Those are the things that are the more areas of more concern for the DCA in terms of a project like this. This is basically a vendor, you know, in terms of they're doing all the capital.
And in essence, we're like, it's like a free lease of our land in a way. I mean, it's really, yeah.
You know.
It's not on your land, right?
Government's kind of helping you out a little bit.
One of the, can you tell me again where the access, where you're going to get access from?
Well, subject to, you know, doing the final site plan, but it would be right at this point through here.
If we worked with, if we worked with the borough sewer plant here, and we were constructing meters and things there, it would be best to use the, what the neighbor was using as the historic access through your property, and build from the back out, and then make the electrical connections and the inverters on the way out to your property, and the meters and trench and clean up the seed on the way out.
So you would use the same access for the
just for the construction purposes.
And then how would you maintain it? How would you get there?
Yeah, the same thing. It's minimum, but it's not
but
a lot.
Once it's built,
there's really
no
not a lot.
Nothing that needs to be done. And then, yeah, there will be, we were talking about the inverter. I mean, there may be a small, very, very small structure for the inverters at some place. In the
yeah, we'll typically put an inverter right close to the property line.
But there's no big building.
The other access that we have is down here. It would require us to put in a, get a general permit, which we understand is feasible. It would add about $100,000 of expense for a temporary crossing there, but then that would change the mathematics and the numbers for the borough. So if we do that, we might have to adjust our numbers. If we use the access from you, we can keep the numbers down.
Okay, makes sense to me.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So wait a minute, did we get a, did we get a?
I have another question about this.
You're going to talk.
Would we have to go through
start off,
our,
then we'll go from there.
Would we have to go through our zoning board also for the access road? No, for the access road.
We'll be working with the township, and as we develop a strong comfort with the township, we can then start to send some things to your professionals, and maybe we can send a cover letter over there stating, you know, our willingness to provide the review.
Okay. So we'll do nothing. Until we hear from you.
No, yeah, but I think we actually we on the PPA part, right? That's going to actually take some time.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I think we want
to have to go through the bid process, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So.
Okay. So,
I think what we'd like to do is actually have you authorize putting this or starting the process to put this out to bid.
Why don't we do this? Let me suggest that maybe a meeting with the principals here, if the governing body is all right with that.
Yes.
Yeah. The manager and I will sit down with the gentlemen and maybe have a little discussion. And maybe we can come up with some brand new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you again.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Eric, I'll look for from hearing you.
Okay, great.
Before too.
All right, that takes us to the minutes of the regular meeting of May 3rd.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on those minutes?
Yeah, two corrections. In the council remarks, I had brought up about the railroad ties and where they came from. That wasn't in there. And I had to excuse myself to attend work to the executive session. That could just be added into there. That was everything I had.
I spoke with Christine. She's making a correction, right?
Okay. Anything else? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Minutes of executive session of May 3rd.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Correspondence.
You need to file correspondence?
Not that they're not,
is that
it? This is the manager's report.
Well, that would be on the report, right?
Was the project...
Well, no, that's...
At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from the guests. Mr. Cione, you know the drill?
I do know the drill.
How is everybody doing today? Victor Cione, 29 Alvin Sloan Avenue. I come before you today not as a former councilman, but as a volunteer on the rec committee. I ask that you reconsider your vote on the reporting structure proposed for the Recreation Commission ordinance that was discussed at the last meeting on May 3rd. I was on the council when the former rec commission had been disbanded and reformed as a committee. Then we had asked the commission members to participate in the forming of a committee with the recreation director reporting directly to the manager, as all boroughs' employees do in the current structure. Unfortunately, we never received any feedback from the members. See minutes of February 19th.
Sir, that door has to stay open by law. Yes, sorry.
The current appointed committee does not want to miss this same opportunity, which is why we have submitted to you our recommendations. We acknowledge that the current committee structure has its weaknesses, which we addressed in our recommendations. You are asking 7 volunteers to manage the rec director and the rec secretary. Given our current meeting schedule every 2 weeks during peak season, this would really impede our ability to continue to make progress and allow for swift decisions to be made. If we fail to have a quorum at a given meeting, then any direction, which would be critical, could languish for a month. The committee recommends that the current structure have both the recreation director and the secretary report directly to the manager, allows for us to continue making real-time decisions that will lead to the betterment of recreation department in the borough. The responsibility on the commissioners or the recreation director to manage employees come with hiring, firing, and other disciplinary actions. There is no guarantee that any of the 7 volunteers will have any background in employment law or other human resources knowledge. The lack of knowledge and one minor mistake or decision could put the borough in serious legal risk that could ultimately lead to costs that become the taxpayers' burden. The borough manager and the recreation director working as a team will ensure the knowledge of all areas of expertise, recreation, finance, purchasing, and legal compliance are covered through the reporting relationship. In conclusion, I mentioned the upcoming forensic audit, the purpose of which is to identify past poor practices and correct them. Why would the governing body want to go back to a failed business model where employees report to volunteers rather than the manager, other than that was the way it was done in the past? Isn't that in part why we are in the financial mess we are in today? So that's my spiel.
This comes from the Recreation Committee itself?
I'm sorry?
This statement comes from the Recreation Committee or from Victor Cione?
From Victor Cione.
Okay.
But we did have consensus on the recommendations that were presented last meeting, and I could field any questions about those recommendations today, and I actually have copies of the letter that I just read for your review. Okay.
He brought up a point here that wasn't brought up before, which I think is really, really important in considering this, is the liability aspect. The fact that if you have volunteers managing the director or the secretary, you know, could they actually take actions that could actually put us in a liability?
Thanks, sir.
I don't think that was considered before. I think that's something that really needs to be looked at.
To a certain extent, I think it was considered, and that the, I guess it's the rec director would have the responsibility to clear through the manager various things.
All the employment issues has to still, I believe, go through the manager. Is that correct?
The way the current ordinance is drafted, the director would report to the commissioners all things recreation and would have to adhere to borough policies.
Right, and state statutes. And it's in this sample ordinance that Rich, you know, made up for, so, you know, that's kind of takes care of that issue.
Well, we do have the draft ordinance on a little bit later, so why don't we discuss it during that point?
Good.
Okay. Anyone else from the audience?
Mike?
Michael Knockbauer, 8 Alvin Sloan Ave. Also on the rec committee with Victor. Just wanted to, piggyback on the comments that Victor said, especially regarding supervision of a rec director. I can't really speak for the other members of the committee, but I know personally getting involved with recreation was something I wanted to do to ensure my children had some programs, to keep the programs running, and, volunteer my time. That said, it becomes hard for me to supervise a rec director on a basis of 15 hours a week when I spend most of my week working in Bridgewater. And the biggest concern I think we have that was brought up was the lack of supervision. This person's reporting to us, and we don't see what goes on daily. We don't have the availability to call to pop in. We're not in town.
So you really would describe the issue kind of as a chain of command type of issue.
It's definitely a chain of command issue. If the rec director's not reporting to the borough manager directly and being overseen, you have 6 or 7 people who don't always have the availability to be around if things need to be supervised hands-on.
Well, if I understand the ordinance correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dick, isn't it that still the rec director still has to every day comply with all the regulations and all the purchasing, all our ordinances, and so he is indirectly getting supervised because the manager automatically would still have a responsibility to, point out to you guys if there's some, obvious problem that he's not complying with or whatever. So you'd have that opportunity always.
It just seems like a really kind of a roundabout.
He's busy as it is.
But all of us also have jobs and are busy as we are. To supervise someone as a volunteer, we really didn't get into volunteering our time for the community to be someone's boss.
Well, you have to take some responsibility of
programs.
Who you
and that's what we signed
select,
up to do.
I'm still talking. Who you select as your director. So it's up to the commission to select a director that they think is competent enough to handle the situation.
Well, you're talking about a different issue.
Well, not really.
You're talking about hiring of a director and a supervising a director. We have a director.
It's all part of the ordinance.
And, I understand that. The point is the hierarchy. You understand?
Right, sure.
I'm not talking about the hiring of, we can be involved in that, sure, but it's the supervision on a daily basis.
What do you mean
yourself
specifically by supervision?
Well, you have the draft ordinance. You have a rec director and rec secretary reporting to commission or committee members.
Right.
How does that? He obviously has to follow, or she has to follow, the laws and the purchasing and everything else. But without our supervision, which we're ultimately responsible for, creates this giant loophole and a liability.
Right.
And that's the thing that we, as a group, came to consensus with that we were most uncomfortable with.
I don't think we need to have a debate between the two of you, on that. That's not going to be settled right there.
Yeah, obviously.
We just wanted to, this is your opportunity
that's,
to make
that's
your
my opportunity to, again, right. reiterate, that was the consensus of the people in the room for that meeting, despite
right.
what might have been said at other times.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Feldman,
you want to wait until later, or you want me to do it now, or do you want to do it now and later?
If you have something to say, please step up to the microphone.
Rick Feldman, 19 Prosper Way, past committee chairperson, past Recreation Commission treasurer. The idea that a bunch of volunteers can't supervise one individual as a director is just absolutely ridiculous to me. First of all, you're hiring a person to run an organization. It doesn't need to be supervised on a minutia by minutia case. The individual that you're hiring has to, by law, do the things that are responsible for compliance within the borough, whether it be purchasing or employment or anything else. The idea that this one person is going to be supervised by all these members is insane. We found out in the course of the commission that one or two people are responsible for supervising the director. They cannot have six bosses. The person can't have six bosses. So for them to think that all six or seven people are going to supervise the director, they're wrong. As far as the failed business model for recreation has been the last 3 years, okay? Not the previous 67 or 75 years. All right. The fact that these people that are presently on the committee don't like the way the structure will be for the future, then maybe they should resign their positions and let people who want to do it the correct way do it.
Is there anyone else? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to deviate from the agenda a little bit and go to Resolution 87-2011 for the executive session. Started off with for contract negotiations. And do we need to put in there also the personnel for afterwards?
I think you're going to do it afterwards, yes.
Okay, you want to do both of them during the one executive session?
Yes.
I would make that recommendation, please.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll do Resolution 87-2011 for contract negotiations and then personnel.
Am I involved in that part of that?
No. I'm a little uncomfortable with that personally, Bob.
I've been on the committee. I don't know. I've been on every other one.
It's not only for that, though.
Right? Yeah. What's the consensus? I'm a little uncomfortable with it myself, but if the council feels that Mr. DeLelba should be welcomed, welcome.
It's up to you.
Let's do it away.
Yes, I do. I think so.
Just for the contract.
Just for the contract, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Justin, what do you feel about
that? Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. John?
Yeah. As long as it's just for that.
Well, we got four for that, so okay.
And would it be possible for council to speak about, you know, before they come in to present?
Absolutely. What would you like to say?
No. Are you wanting to have you want to discuss prior to the company come in?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We can do that. Sure. Then we need the motion for 87-2011.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
And personnel and contract negotiations.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you all. If you would not mind leaving the room while we do this. Mr. Schneider will call you in as soon as we're ready. Everybody enjoys it here so much, nobody wants to make a motion?
I move to file the report.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the reports?
I have one question.
Good.
On the CFO's report. It's just a question of clarification. On the second page, where right under where it says investment debt, a balance of 331.
330.
To the left.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay, you see that there? Okay, the balance of is 2.3 million. Total deposits 1.4 million. That comes to $3,846,066.41. Now, when you get down there and you subtract the $922,000 out of current fund, right to the left of that, it says $146,000. $146,787.01. Total non-current disbursements. Where's that money come out of?
Well, this is expenditure. This is an expenditure report, not a revenue report. If you're asking me where that money come from, I'd have to ask the tax collector.
It's right below it.
No. But the CFO's report's an expenditure report, not a revenue.
Right here.
Yeah.
They list it right here.
I mean,
MSU, 5, Animal Control Trust, other funds, Recreation Trust Fund 16, and Unemployment Trust Fund 18. That totals 146,787 at one.
Okay, so then my next question would be, MSU is the municipal sewer utility. The $135,000, is that interfund money being paid back?
No, that's just expenditures. The only interfund money council authorized to pay back was $100,000 in sewer and $70,000 in current that's on the bill list tonight. That's just expenditures associated with sewer, you know, electric bills, daily water, things of that nature.
Okay.
Anything else?
Just real quick, on the tax collector current fund, I was just curious what the, why are we getting money for the crossing guard? And then also, what is the, what was that grant? I didn't hear about that.
The $7,000 grant was the one that the shade tree applied for last year.
Okay, we're just getting it now.
We just get you the year after. So when you apply for it last year, we get it this year.
Okay.
The $14,000 was a result of the savings from the amendment to the contract the council made last year. They asked if they could wait until they adopt their subsequent year budget to reimburse us. So they did.
And then I had, just out of curiosity, because I guess I'm impressed with some people, the sewer report, people are already paying 2012 sewer?
Yeah, some people do.
Wow.
Some people do. Some people, what we've been noticing is a lot of people set up like automatic bill pays, and sometimes they pay twice.
Oh.
Like they'll write a check, and then the bank will automatically send the check too, so in essence, it doubles the payment.
Okay. That's all I have.
Any other discussion on the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports tonight that we absolutely need to hear? Hearing none, we'll move past that. Do we want to table old business, or the Recreation Commission draft ordinance to our next meeting due to the late hour?
Why?
No, I don't think so. I think we're just going to vote on it, right? I don't think there's much discussion.
Well, it's just a draft ordinance to see if this is where you want to go forward with it or not. And it's not going to take effect until next year,
well,
most likely?
Introduction, adoption, then that's sent down to state for approval.
Yeah.
More than likely, wouldn't go into effect until January next year.
Yeah. But we'd have some time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's up to you folks.
I'd like to make the motion that we accept the restructured ordinance as it's written, unless there's any specific changes anybody has, but I'd like to make the motion accept it as it is right now.
And have it put into as a ordinance for our next meeting.
Well, can we discuss first? I'll tell you what
sure.
I
have.
Just, I had mentioned to Rich on the last page where it says grants that we add in consultation with the Recreation Commissioners and the borough grant application process. I just felt it was too vague because I don't want to leave the borough open to possible problems like them going out for a grant that requires the borough matching or even things like the Green Acre that, you know, we're still restricted by certain things because of that grant, so I just want to make sure that
so that
makes sense.
They know, but a little more specific.
Right. And then we had talked about it at the last meeting, and it's still vague in here, page two, the powers and duties. Are we, you know, since they're the semi-autonomous entity, or who's paying for what? I still don't know that. Are they going to pay? Is it all or nothing? You know, if they're not paying for everything, then we might as well just keep it the way it is right now. So I still think that's vague.
And what about the suggestions that were made this evening?
The comments from Mr. McBarr and Mr. Cioni.
Right. I mean, they were reiterating the same things they originally asked for. And when we initially started talking about this, we were saying, what were the suggestions of the rec department? And we got the rec department's suggestions and promptly ignored them. So, and then, again, they come back this evening asking for the same thing. And, I mean, are we like listening to our rec department or are we doing what we want?
Well, they're asking for a little bit more, I think, than...
No, they're not. They're asking that they don't want to be responsible for the rector and the secretary.
And
it's
a
valid point.
To the point that I made last
but every recreation commission is like that in the whole state.
This board is temporary. This ordinance will go on.
Well, then when the next board comes, what's the problem with changing the ordinance?
Because you don't want to keep changing the ordinance. That's the whole idea. It's a big deal.
This is
you want to do it right the first time if at all possible. You know, I mean, obviously circumstances may change, which may dictate some changes to the ordinance. We may not have control over that. But this
and
is what we do.
And they also brought up some other issues that I never thought of before that I think are valid. I mean, having volunteers supervise your director or your secretary, I don't know if that's
worked for 70 years.
Suggestion on this. The language that I think is in dispute is in the top, it's 355.7, I think, that was either, the 355.7 directly appropriation. And I think what happened here on this was, when we originally crafted this language, I think we crafted it so that it would say, you know, you'd have, it was meant to be a compromise, which was that the rec director, I'm sorry, the rec, yeah, the rec director would be under the control of the recreation board for policy type of issues and so forth, but would really be under the manager's control for things like making sure you're carrying out fiscal responsibilities and so forth. That was what we originally planned.
That's
and,
what I thought we were going to
right, have. But then obviously there was some discussion about that. I don't think I was at the meeting. And this language was created. How you decided, obviously, is your decision. It's just, I don't like the way the language is written here. It's redundant. You know what I mean? And what if we simply...
What's redundant?
Well, the way the language I read right now says, there is hereby created the Director of Recreation, who shall be appointed by the Board of Recreation Commissioners. The Director shall serve under the supervision of the Board of Recreation Commissioners as to fiscal affairs, statutory responsibility related to open public meetings and public bidding of contracts, and shall serve under the supervision of the Recreation Commission as to the day-to-day responsibilities of overseeing the borough recreation.
Could be reworded. It's repetitive.
It's repetitive.
Yeah.
So if I'm trying to get exactly what you're trying to do here, which is you want the recreation commissioners to supervise the rec director. You want him to basically
report it. And only the rec director.
Right. I'm sorry. What?
And only the rec director. The commissioners would supervise the rec director only.
Okay.
The rec director
as
supervise
to somebody else.
All other.
Oh, I see.
The seasonal employees will report.
Right. I see what you mean. Okay.
See, the recreation committee, my understanding was they wanted like a hierarchy. You know, the manager, the rec director, and the seasonal employees.
But see, that's the whole idea.
I just
to
have one thing
free
I say.
Up,
just
to help free up the manager's time, really, from getting him, you know, separate. He doesn't want to have to deal with all these recreation issues. That's one thing that this is doing.
Is that
and
what
also,
you want?
Wait a minute,
what you want,
I'm not done.
Well, I'm just trying to give an example, and John, and I don't know who else doesn't understand it.
Sorry.
If you look at the way the school boards operate, the way this very council operates, even though we are given a stipend, it works in the same manner, where the volunteers are actually instructing the paid people, in this case, the superintendents of the schools,
right,
or the manager, in this case, what our particular council. So that's the idea I think we're trying to set forth here. I don't know why we got off track, so to speak, but that's
well, I don't think
that's kind of the
track.
Idea.
We're
that's
not
what
off track.
That's what we're asking to do.
Well, let me suggest this. I think I'm hearing what you want. Why
you feeling me?
The manager should only be consulted
like
for
that.
Those fiscal affairs and the things that he needs to, you know, he'll be right there and he'll have questions and they'll have, you know, their daily interactions probably. You know, so it's still the supervision. He's going to be responsible to, the director's going to be responsible to the board or the commission.
If you look at 355.
But maybe that should be specified in here then.
Okay,
then,
that's
the,
it.
I guess their concerns are.
It's actually under 355A-B.
Right.
Which really covers that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is really what you want to say.
Yeah, it's right.
So why can't I, what I think you're trying to say, if I understand enough, I'm trying to shortcut this because of the time, please.
Thank you.
Which is, you want to say, look, the recreation director reports to the commissioners, and then the employees of the rec department report to the director.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, absolutely, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, anybody else that works for Derek reports all to the director.
Right,
that's it. Yeah.
That's not what it is. The recreation committee did not recommend that, though.
Right.
That's what...
Yeah,
the recreation committee recommended the opposite. Yeah.
I heard Vic and the other gentleman saying, look, they didn't want the overseeing recreation director with respect to fiscal affairs, statutory responsibility relating to open public meetings and public building of contracts. I thought that's the part they were objecting.
Well, that, and they're also objecting to the fact that volunteers are giving paid staff orders, I think, too.
Right.
That was the other.
And I think their idea of supervision
think,
is different than,
right.
I mean, so I think the word supervision is
right.
what has to be clarified for them.
I think they're afraid things are not going to happen because they have to vote at their recreation meeting, and if they only meet, whatever, the one...
So they're talking about a quorum.
Quorum.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, if the school board...
And then something's not getting done because they didn't have that quorum in that vote.
If the school board can operate to function the way it does, and the council, even though we have stipends, we're not totally volunteer, but some of us are, if it works in that capacity, I'm quite sure it can work in a capacity.
Let's go from here.
Every other...
You want to keep it that the commissioners, excuse me, you want to keep it that the commissioners supervise the director?
Yes, hire and supervise.
Hire and supervise. Justin, you want to keep it so that the commissioners hire and supervise? Pat?
Yes, Mayor.
John, you have a disagreement with that?
Well, I just thought that we should go with what the commissioner's recommending.
Rob, what are you thinking of it?
I agree with the three public councils.
I said from the get-go, it should be something different.
But Dick, you think you can word that a little bit better?
Well, just basically take...
Here's what the old one says.
Yeah. So you think you can word that a little better in this...
Well, this is part of... Promulgate.
Okay.
Adopt and approve such rules and regulations that the Board of Recreation Commissioners shall deem necessary to appoint. Number four is to appoint such personnel as may be required to carry out the responsibilities of the Board of Recreation Commissioners.
Okay.
That's what the old one...
All right, Mr. Feldman, what do you have?
I was going to suggest go back to the old one and take the language. It's been there for 70-something years.
And it's kind of similar with...
Okay, so we'd like to see Mr. Cushing tweak this language a little bit more.
That's it.
According to the directive we've had here.
And feel free to criticize or take it apart, but...
Okay, so we'll get that and we'll look at it at our next meeting.
Yeah, thanks.
Why do we have to wait until the first of the year, though?
It's not a question of what happened to wait until the first of the year. Remember, FDA introduced it and adopted it, it has to go to Trenton for their approval. That's what takes time.
Okay.
And by the time it gets approved, you're three quarters of the way through the year, so you might as well pick a clean start date to start it.
So what are we going to send it to Trenton for approval?
After it gets adopted.
Okay.
You can only send it down after it gets adopted.
Okay, so do we put a start date in there then?
You could, the effective date of X.
I mean, I wouldn't put an effective date of July 1st if we're sending it to them in June, but you're not going to hear back by July 1st.
Yeah, understood.
Okay.
Got that. Now let's go on to Resolution 90-2011.
What?
No, I don't have that.
Yeah, we do.
That's your last one.
Professional service contract.
Data board, very last one.
You're a sly one.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Let me get it to Justin.
Is there any discussion?
Now, what's this for?
This is awarding the forensic audit services, which maybe should be forensic investigatory services. Let's have a roll call on this one, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And then let's do
excellent.
Resolution 84 and 85, 2011 together.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Suarez?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
86, 2011.
So moved. Resolution 86, 2011.
Any discussion?
Just real quick, Councilman Higgins, you had mentioned this from the meeting. This came out of the sewer meeting?
Yes.
Committee meeting? And this is to help with?
The engineering costs that were budgeted for Barber's Court and...
The pumping station.
Pardon me?
The pumping station.
Pumping station and... Pumping station for Barber's Court, also the committee meetings.
Okay.
And was the review, Rich, too, of Quick Check?
No, Quick Check's that he's being paid via escrow.
Okay, right. So it was just those.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Suarez?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
I don't know that we should do this one, but 89, 2011.
We deny receiving the check.
So moved.
Check with my staff today, and they absolutely deny it. Now, I have to confess, in the past, there was one instance
Dave may remember this, where a check sat on my desk for a couple of months and was not updated. Yeah, and then, yeah, but this is different.
But he did return.
Factually, and I don't want you auditing that. Coming up with something questionable about that, right?
That was beyond the 6 years.
Okay, I heard the motion. Do we have a second? We need a second.
Second.
Any other discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Stuhl?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Vouchers?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Oh, my goodness.
I just want to, I have one comment.
Almost.
I'm sorry. I really am. But I do, I just, it's peculiar to me that always it seems, lately at least, that the library seems to be incurring all these, you know, considerable, I think, charges, you know, ongoing. And again, this is because of this shared situation. This is beyond our control. We have no say.
It's not a question of the shared situation. The library board is semi-autonomous. They have sole authority on how to spend their money.
Right.
So we give them 1/3 mil, they decide how to spend it.
Okay. And I just want to mention again, I happen to notice that they, too, I guess they don't use our seafoam towels. They had comments on a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you recall, but... So we, again, are purchasing these seafoam towels in abundance.
Again, it's a separate line item.
Yeah.
Under procedures. We'll find all that out in a few months.
That's the only comments I have. Sorry.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes, with the same or anything to do with the fire department.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Stuhl?
Yes, except everything for the squad and the fire department.
Kleba?
Yes, abstain from finale page 4.
Okay, recap. Short list, it looks like.
Very short. Just I'll work with the attorney and Washington Community Solar to find out specifically what they're proposing and select the course of action to move forward on.
Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Valentine.
There is one thing about I had... Certainly, I was here at the last council meeting, so I could attend the meeting of the Board of Ed, and I didn't get to it. And the reason why I didn't get to it, I worked 14 hours in the company car that I was using, it was breaking down, and it was a mess. Things were awful. And I apologize, I should have sent emails. I didn't. That's why I didn't get there, because it was like just circumstances beyond my control. I apologize to the council for not keeping a commitment. I'm sorry.
Mr. Torres.
The only thing I'd like to say is I hope that our citizens continue to volunteer and help out whenever they could and fill out those forms. That's it.
Mrs. Leiba.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I have a few things. Sorry. It's only because it's my opportunity to do this. I sent everyone the 350 stuff, and we spoke with the attorney, and it is prudent not to put it on the website, but I want to get everyone buying that it's okay to, you know, show we're a supporter of it, you know, if I fill out the information that I gave you, and then also send out just like an email blast referring people, like remind people to go to the bid website, and to they have a link on their website. So.
I support that.
I like that idea. Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to move forward with that.
Yeah, very good.
Then my other two things are I'd like to start an ad hoc committee to start going through the code book. We had mentioned it, and I know we're doing what we got to do with the budget for this year, but I really think we have a need to go through each page, and I know the shade tree committee, theirs needs to be updated. I know updates have to be done, so I want to start the ad hoc committee and see if anyone else wants to help me.
I
like
to
really
want to be on that.
I want to be on that.
Okay.
We have 4, so.
All right.
Okay, I'll back out.
No. Mrs. Leiba, we'll make you as the chair. How's that sound?
Okay.
Good job.
And Mr. Boyle, I heard first, and then I heard Mr. Valentine. So.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Then the last thing.
Mr. Torres, that was kind of the order I heard him, so.
The last thing I want to do is again, conceptually and see if you are okay with it, and then I'll do the research, you know, before we make any, you know, decisions. But I really feel that we should do background checks on, you know, with, through the recreation for coaches and...
I agree.
I don't know where it's going to get sticky is if we need to do employees and... I don't know what's involved, but I would look at to see what the township does and Mansfield does and other towns. So,
yeah, that's going to be a situation where if you do one, you have to do everybody.
I'm fine doing everybody, but then again, that's why it's looking to the cost and do the research.
What is the cost, Scott? Do you know?
I think it's about $35 per person.
If you're just doing a fingerprint and I think the NCIS type of check, I think you're in the ballpark there.
And then it must be on record for an X amount of years, so I don't think it's the kind of thing you have to do every year, you know.
No, you usually do it one time on employment, right, or something like that.
So anyway, I just want to see conceptually if everyone is in favor of that, and then I'll...
I'm just wondering what the attorney has any input on that, if it'll add any...
I think that's the trend. I think we're moving to try to see that cost as well as the factor, you know, that's kind of known.
But that might be an issue for
but I think
the
like recreation,
they
might, the reason is if, you know, with, I think user fees would have to be increased, especially on, for programs, as far as coaches are concerned, you know, then that'll affect that also. But right now, I want to see if...
If we don't put in the ordinance, though, it's up to them if they want to do the thing, you know, the background check and whatever, up to the commission, in the commission form, if it is, right?
If you do it...
Well, then that kind of defeats the whole point. Then they, I think it's really important that coaches are...
Well, they put in their bylaws or not, but it, or else we could put in the ordinance in the beginning.
I believe the coaches are at least fingerprinted, because I know I've been...
Yeah.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not.
Coaches are not?
No.
They stopped doing it.
They stopped doing it.
Okay.
How can they stop doing it?
How much was it?
It was right around $35.
So should I do the research, or is no one's in favor?
You can certainly look at it and bring a more complete proposal.
Is that something you stopped, Rich, since you came? No.
No.
Okay.
We would never.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Yes, I have a couple things. A couple meetings ago, I asked for if we could get the maintenance schedule from the water company for the fire hydrants. Had any luck on that?
I shot him an email.
Can you just follow up on that, please? I mean, we're paying a lot of money for those.
$5,000 a month, right? Could you take one of the month?
Yeah. All right, I'll get back to that one. I just want to say that after a two-year process, I'm glad to see that we're finally going to get started on our investigative audit. Did you get anything back on the Pleasant Valley Dam in writing?
Nothing in writing. They verbally told us that they've given us the approval to decommission the dam, pending... You know, yeah, believe it or not, they're saying, yes, you can take it down the dam, but I believe it when I see it in writing. But yes, if we approve it, then you have to apply for a permit from us to do it.
Okay. At the last meeting, in executive session, the bid came before. Is there going to be any follow-up on that in executive session?
I didn't hear you. Say it again.
The bid came before us in executive session. Is there going to be any follow-up to that?
I think there should be more discussion.
So you request an executive session to discuss that for the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
And just to follow up to the school board meeting, Mr. Duke.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you want me to ask him to attend the next meeting, or is this just a council discussion?
Well, all I really want is some kind of follow-up.
All right, so it's just a council discussion.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just didn't know if I should let them know to attend. That's fine.
Okay. The school board meeting was? Small. But it worked out well, I think.
Okay.
And the new, just so everybody knows, the four municipalities got together to discuss the budget. and that the new superintendent comes on board on July 1st. So what they want to do is kind of get a committee like that was there for the budget to sit down and meet with the new administrator, the new superintendent, to go over his goals and, you know, and see what he wants to institute that's going to affect our tax rate. You know what I mean? Our taxes, to see what it is, you know, shared services type stuff. You know, they were talking about trying to get into a shared service with plowing the school parking lot. You know, things like that. So,
right.
There'll be a new,
okay.
There'll be a new, probably a new committee set up after July 1st.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Mr. Jewell?
I'd like to reiterate, excellent job to everybody involved with the forensic audit or the investigative committee. The public was heard. Your vote counted. Bob, Concerned Citizens Group, thank you very much.
You.
The committee, myself, Dave, and Robert, and the council for your vote. Looks good. As I like to say, in the railroad, on track, we're full steam ahead, so that's good. Excellent job. Looks like the roads are getting patched up, I see, so that's good. It's a good thing. And warmer weather's upon us. Put your flags out for more of that coming up.
Sir? Mr. Boyle?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Richard, are we on the schedule for the audit in June?
Yes.
Good.
The schedule should be adopted at the next meeting.
All right, great. I'm working with Justin here about the roads that we hope that the county will accept, and I'll have something in writing for like a resolution to go to the freeholder board for certain roads. So once we have that mapped out, we'll have that for the next meeting.
Don't we need to like petition the people or something?
No, I asked that question of our attorney about what did they really mean by petition. I asked the same thing that you did. And you just draft a resolution with a couple
oh.
whereas.
Well, that's easy. I'm thinking I have
yeah.
to get 90,000.
I was thinking the same way. Walk around knocking on doors, but yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're our approach.
Full speed ahead.
Full steam ahead.
Come on. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Sure. May I commend the council for finally making a decision, this council, for making a decisive decision tonight. The Long Pond Road, I know, did a lot of diligence and a lot of effort, and we wanted to make the right decision. I'm sure 86% of your neighbors appreciate that and deeply. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All I have is I'll add on to that a little bit, Mr. DeLalba, is that you, I hope that you will make them aware, at least your citizens group, of the process and not what was said in executive session, but how we wanted to ensure that everything was done the right way.
Absolutely, and that's the honest vote.
Okay. And the Mayor's Book Club has proceeded. I've done my last reading to them. We tentatively have scheduled the presentation of the check to Taylor Street for June 1st. We don't know the time as of yet. I'll let anybody know, let everybody know when that's going to occur. And as long as the school allows you to come in, you're more than welcome to attend, because we're going to try and make a big deal out of it. The kids and I had a wonderful time, and you know, even though we won't be able to do it next year, I understand this is a one-and-done sort of thing. I was very pleased to do it, and if they change the rules that we can go back into it, if I'm still the mayor, I will most certainly go back into it. That's all I have. Accept the motion to adjourn if there's nothing else.
So move.
Second. Okay, any discussion?
One quick thing. The language for the ordinance, just one second. There is hereby created the position of Director of Recreation who shall report to the Board of Recreational Commissioners. The director shall have full day-to-day responsibility for overseeing all recreation department employees, public provision and thereabouts, the salary and so forth. That okay? Kind of took the word supervision out because that's
yeah,
to create
yeah.
a little issue.
Yeah, that's much better.
And
yeah.
have hire in there?
Hired by.
I think there's another section in there that says the commission does all hiring. Yeah, right. What do you want to do? Which?
Commissioners hire and direct.
Yes.
Right.
The recreation director.
Right. The powers and duties say hire all recreation employees in consultation with the recreation commissioners. What do you want? Who do you want to hire the employees?
The
commissioners or the director?
The director.
But the commissioners hire the director.
That's the way it's provided for in your form of order.
So that's it, so you choose to change that one sentence.
I'll put it together, vote it together. Anything else, Mr. Cushing?
Oh.
Go ahead, because I have too late, Higgins. Way too late, Higgins.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh. 70 fans, oh.